This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to another special Technorama interview. This time I'm speaking with Charles Stell from Amity, Arkansas. Charles Stell is a longtime Technorama listener who has made several contributions to the show over the past year and a half. Charles and I got talking one night and I found out he works for his wife making quilt patterns. Being the geek he is, it wasn't long before he pointed out the tech behind making quilt patterns. Join me for a few moments with Charles Stell. Now tell me about your shop now. You've got laser cutters. When I first heard you were doing quilting patterns, I had absolutely no concept on it. That didn't strike me as a real high-tech thing to do. But the more you talked about it, the more interesting it got. And I thought we'd give the listener a little taste of what is involved with quilting patterns.
One of our major sources of income, one of the things that we're really gearing our business towards, is making custom templates for quilt designers. There are ladies that travel all around the world and teach quilting. Some of them we make templates for. What they do is, I prefer them to send me a drawing of the finished quilt block. And I work from the sewing lines. I use CorelDRAW.
Mm-hmm.
And I draw the block and then work from the sewing line, separate out each piece of fabric, add the seam allowance, which is how much extra you have to cut around that piece, and then put in markers for, you name it, for where they have to sew, for where key points have to match up. You know, add their logo,
right,
a hole to hang it up with, all kinds of things. They go, the simplest one is a little triangle with some people's name on it. And it's made to do what's called a trip around the world quilt. It's like a kaleidoscope.
Okay.
And some of the more complicated ones have six or eight different pieces and all kinds of curved shapes. And when you take all of these templates, usually what I do is line them up and put index holes in them where you can take, I use Q-tips because I make 090 holes where the corners come together of the various pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stack these templates and line them up properly by sticking Q-tips in these 090 holes. And you'll see all the seam lines line up exactly, and you'll be able to see the finished shape of the block.
Ah.
Gee, I don't guess I have anything. Maybe I should photograph some of these.
Well, your wife, Brandy, had a video. She was doing, what's that pattern called, Granny's Garden?
Grandmother's Flower Garden.
Grandmother's, yes. Flower Garden. Hexagonal patterns that when sewn together, they all meet up and form a honeycomb pattern, in a sense, and depending on what color fabric you use. Now, to make those perfect hexagonal fabric patterns, you've got to cut out Mylar templates, right? Just a Mylar hexagon with a circle in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So that they take the thread and they thread around the edge and make a nice hexagonal thing and pull that little Mylar piece out of the middle once it's done.
Yes.
Well, every so often that Mylar piece is going to wear out. It's just going to bend, and so there's an easy thing for people to latch onto. So you've got this big sheet of Mylar, and your laser cutter goes and cuts a bunch of hexagons out of it.
Yes.
Now, what do you do with the that green plastic? What did you call it?
Well, it's fluorescent green acrylic.
Okay.
It's 3 millimeter. When we first started, it was 1/8 inch, but now the entire world in plastics have pretty much gone metric, so 3 millimeter is the closest equivalent. That's what we make the templates like I was describing earlier.
Oh, okay.
There's a lady down in South Texas that I do bear outlines for, like grizzly bears and trees.
That's what I thought you were talking about. I wanted to make sure.
Yes. Bears and trees. But it's not limited to that. There are a few people that we've made flowers and snowflake and, trying to think of what the name is. There's a name for this kind of pattern. What it is they will send me a drawing, and they will say, we want a stencil made from Mylar so that we can put it on our fabric and draw, you know, all of the pattern onto the fabric with a chalk pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Then they sew around that. Trapunto, that's what it is. Then they will go back from the bottom side, cut a small slit, and stuff extra batting in between the two layers of fabric, and then sew it back shut so that it stands up and it's a 3D type thing.
Who would have thought quilting was so high tech? You get this drawing and you get it into Corel Draw.
Mm-hmm.
How does it actually get to the lasers and do the cutting? What's involved with that?
Well, the laser, believe it or not, thinks it's a plotter. And it makes sense. It has an X, Y, and Z axis drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, it uses, it's HPGL with extensions. HPGL is what you send to like a design jet or the old
pen plotters is pen what
plotters,
I remember. Yeah,
right.
It was pen up, pen down, move here, do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very simple, very efficient.
You have X, you have Y, and pin up is laser beam off, pin down is laser beam on.
Huh.
And you can literally drive this thing like that from AutoCAD if you wish, using HPGL. But what you can't do is things like the engraving halftone photographs.
Okay. That's the extensions?
Yes, it takes their own written extensions to do that. Now, at the moment, this only runs under Windows.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would do a Linux driver, but hey, I'm talking to you on my Ubuntu machine.
That's working all right.
It's doing just fine. It's an old HP laptop. And while it was running out of giddy up for Windows, especially since it only has 256 meg of RAM, under Ubuntu it runs just dandy.
That's right.
So it's kind of like breathing new life into the old box. Anyway, the machines operate under a couple of different modes. They operate in a raster mode where the head scans back and forth across from left to right and moves forward towards the front of the machine about 3/1000ths of an inch each time it goes across. That's actually adjustable. That's the fine setting. You can set it, you know, there's 0 to 100 type setting that you can use, and it will set it anywhere from 1,000 dots per inch down to about 150 dots per inch.
Mm-hmm.
The other mode of operation is vector mode, just the difference between raster and vector bitmap, you know, formats for graphics. And it actually will turn the beam on, and then come to think of it, you can actually send this thing a PostScript program and generate a curve and draw a curve with it. So it will operate in two modes doing curves. You can either do lots of little line segments, or you can send it a PostScript program, and it will calculate it out to its best resolution. The half steps on the stepper motors.
Does it do full PostScript?
No, it doesn't do the full implementation.
Now you started with one of those, and now you're up to five. Are they all the same models, or have things progressed technologically?
Well, yes, we have three different models. The first one has a 25-watt laser. It's a UV, ultraviolet laser, so it's short wavelength. And it has a 12-by-24-inch cutting table. The next two is the next generation. They still have 12-by-24-inch cutting tables, but they have a little more accurate drive mechanisms. They're a little faster, and they have 40-watt lasers in them. The next two are similar, except they're larger. They both have 40-watt lasers. They both have the higher speed drive mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
But they have 18-by-32-inch tables.
Why would you need a higher power laser? What's the advantage of 40 over 25?
With a 40-watt laser, it gives me the ability to do things like cut quarter-inch plastic, which is twice as thick, plus a bit, in a single pass. Now, I can cut quarter-inch plastic in two passes with the 25-watt laser, but I assume that you heard about the little trophies that I made for Richard and Jimmy when they were here?
Yes.
They were from quarter-inch. If I had cut it with the 25-watt machine, there would be a wavy line down the middle of the edge. By cutting it with one of the 40-watt machines, you get a nice, smooth, polished look all the way around.
I see.
And you can do really interesting things like set wood on fire.
You need your flaming page interrupt.
Well, I have made before, like a woodcut. You know how people used to take and engrave?
They do like plaques, you know, for in recognition mm-hmm. of, and yeah.
Well, you can do that, but I also took, I can't remember what kind of wood it was. The man who asked me to do it does block prints. And he had an image of a sailboat, you know, with the storm clouds and the moon and the ocean waves and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I converted it to operate on the laser and did a reverse cut because, you know, once it's in the vector file format in the CAD program, you just flip it and now it's backwards.
Right.
And then cut it into this block of wood he supplied. And then he went off and made some block prints with it. And that worked out very well. Maple is a good wood to do things like if you can get very thin 3/32 or so hard rock maple
mm-hmm.
or cherry, you can make some really impressive looking wooden business cards to hand out.
Oh my. Yeah, that would be.
There's a lot of insane things you can do with them. There is a group of people out in California that the only thing they do is window mods for computer cases.
Really? You
know, they do things like cut the for the vent holes. They do the Half-Life and all of the game logos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course they do it in the fluorescent plastic also, so that then they put UV LEDs up inside the case so that it glows.
Oh, yeah. So has anybody come to you and ask for something like that?
Chuck, out here, these people can't even spell computer.
I met somebody on the internet who may have found you and said, hey, can you... Because I know we had talked at one point, you made this nice business card holder and said, you know, there might be a market for something like this.
We started doing that for our customers just as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
For the ones we do custom work for. That weird-looking thing is entirely my own design. I've come up with all kinds of screwball things you can make out of flat material since we got the lasers.
It works. It, you know, put together five sides of a box.
Mm-hmm.
And, makes a great business card holder.
Probably one of the most popular things that I've done for customers besides the business card holder is I went off to a woodworking supply and bought a box of 100 clips for just clipboard clips.
Okay.
And then for the ladies that we do custom work for, last year for Christmas, we gave them all a couple of clipboards, a large one and a half sheet size one, from the fluorescent green plastic with their name and their logo engraved on it.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And they all seemed to be very happy with that. One of the things we did that was very strange was General Electric imported from somebody in China a 110-volt plug-in-the-wall white LED nightlight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these nightlights have a molded plastic decorative piece for a light diffuser in the top, and they just fit in the socket. The bases are all identical. But you have this 6-millimeter piece of plastic that goes in the top, fits in this oddly shaped socket to diffuse the light. They have praying hands, soccer balls, sailboats, baseball mitts, doves, you know, car emblems, and of course, you know, football and baseball team emblems.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I looked at it and over in Walmart one day and said, hey, that thing comes out. I can use this. So I bought about 20 of them and brought them home. And that year, that was year before this past holiday, and I cut out logos and for our designers and sent them nightlights with their logo on it.
Oh, that's neat. That's really cool.
And for my daughter over in the middle of No Place, Oklahoma, who has a butterfly fetish, I did a fluorescent green butterfly for her. Well, hey, you take care.
You too.
Be looking forward to listening to the show.
Don't work too hard.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Charles, for your time and wonderful insight into the world of quilt pattern making. It just goes to show that you can't swing a dead cat without hitting technology somewhere. And thank you, my wonderful listener, for downloading and listening to this special edition of Technorama. If you want to find out more about Charles's company, or rather, his wife Brandy's company, you can find that at brandysquiltpatterns.com. You can find this and many other interviews at www.chuckchat.com/technorama. Don't forget, Craig and I do a show twice a week where we take a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, 101.